Hi, my name is Alyssa Pinkard. I'm the speaker coordinator for MOPS, for those of you that don't know. I'm going to introduce Jody Lubinek tonight. She's our speaker. She'll be speaking to us on rest stop. Now, I'm just going to stop right there. A couple of weeks ago, my family and I drove to Florida. The family includes a 5-year-old and a 3.5-year-old in a car for 14 and a half hours. No, 16 hours. We did not stay overnight anywhere. We drove. Now, I don't know if your husbands are like this, but when they see the GPS and it says we'll get there like at 8 o'clock, they try to beat that time? Anybody? Okay, well, we're both like that. So there's two of us. So we do a lot of road trips because we have kids. You all like that? I don't know. We can't fly yet because it costs money. Well, in the summers, I drive to Texas because I have family in Texas. Hometown Conroe, what? Yes. We do a lot of driving in the summers. I drive to Texas. Texas is, my hometown is 24 hours away. So I have that little crazy thing in my head that says, you will get there on this date at this time. I'm like, yeah, right, I'm going to beat that. No. My dad, along with Jody Lubinek, rest stops, take the rest stops, and enjoy the journey. And I'm looking forward to hearing what Jody has to remind me about. Rest stop, finding rest in the journey of motherhood. For crazy people like me. So let me tell you about Jody. Before moving to Northern Virginia to marry her wonderful husband, Serge, of 22 years, she taught elementary school for 8 years in her hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, home of the Louisville Slugger. And what else was that? OKFC and Papa John's, which started in a garage, by the way. Anyways. She has two daughters, Emily, 21, a junior at Wheaton, and Jennifer, 18, a freshman at Cedarville. She's attended IBC for 22 years and is currently co-teaching a women's Bible study on Wednesday mornings. Anyone? Is anyone in that Bible study? Yeah? Okay. She enjoys spending time with friends over a cup of tea and loving on her canine kid, Ella, 186-pound mastiff. Please welcome Jody Lubinek.
Well, I am delighted to be here tonight. Whoops. Yes, Alyssa met from a distance, my Ella. Is her name. Her breeder named her after Ella Enchanted, but unlike Ella Enchanted, she does not obey quite as quickly. Yes, we are big on canine kids. We have English Mastiffs. We lost one of them last year at 18 months. But I am thrilled to tell you that we're adopting. Puppies were born 5 weeks ago tomorrow, and so in a few weeks, we'll be having a puppy baby in our house, and I'll be able to relate to you all really well. You know, the crying during the night, getting up during the night, all those kinds of things. The only thing is, with a puppy, it goes much faster, and legally, you can put them in a crate and draw away from your house. Can't do that with those little ones. We got our first canine. My husband is the one that loved the big dogs. We talked about it for a couple years, and finally, on my birthday, he gives me the CD of the Three Stooges, and I open it up, and there's three puppies, massive puppies, and choose which one you want for your birthday. That's how we got our first Mastiff. But really, what I wanted that year, every year probably, for my birthday, I always say I want my BVDs, and to me, that stands for breaks, vacations, and dates. Just give me a break. That's all I want, because this road of motherhood is a wearying road at times. But even those breaks, vacations, and dates can make us tired. Because before we go on the date, we got to find someone to take care of our kids. And we got to make sure we got the microwave dinners ready and the this and the notes. And when we go away on those vacations that we look forward to, well, we got to pack all the stuff. And we've got to, even for the car, you know, what are they going to do on the way in the car? And sometimes I felt like I needed vacation from my vacation. Took a lot of planning. Isn't it weird how the smaller they are, the more stuff you have to pack for going away for vacation? Well, and then, you know, we traveled with small kids back before they had DVD players in the cars. So, further to do it, I had to think of all these little things every, hour. Here's a new little gizmo, to play with. Because what is the question that our kids always ask? Are we there yet? Why do they ask that question? Well, because they are confined to those little car seats. And they want their space and their freedom. And quite frankly, it's boring to sit in a car for hours and hours and hours. And it's tiring to them. And they're looking forward to what's at the end. The beach, Grandma's house, Disney World. That's what they're looking forward to. And as I thought about that, this week I thought, in the road to motherhood, we ask very much the same questions for the same reason. When are we going to get there? And we ask those questions because we feel confined. Because sometimes mothering, we want our space. We want our freedom back when we could just go and do and not be boggled down with responsibility. And sometimes, quite frankly, it's boring if you're staying at home going over and over and over again or making the little dolls talk to each other over and over again. And we have this tendency to look ahead to the future. And we say, oh, I'll be so glad when they sleep through the night. And that is a very big plus because zombie life for the first few months, isn't it? But then, you know what I found out? When they did fall to sleep during the whole night, first couple nights, I got no sleep. Oh, are they all right? Oh, I didn't hear them. Oh, can't fall asleep. Maybe they'll cry. And so there are good points and bad points. And then we think, oh, they're getting so heavy. They're growing. Oh, I'm glad they're growing. But, man, I'll be glad when she can walk. So I have to lug her around everywhere. And, wow, she takes her first steps. But then in a couple weeks, I'm getting my arms aren't getting exercised anymore, but my legs are running after her. And then we just wish they would talk because it's so frustrating. We don't know what they're saying. And they learn to say words, and that's great, except for they learn to say things we wish they wouldn't communicate, like that big word no and that why over and over again. And then we wish they would dress themselves. And, oh, they learn to dress themselves, and that's great until we find out they have a strong will, and they want to wear that pretty pink tutu to Aunt Sally's wedding. And we have a little skirmish over that. And preschool. Oh, if they could just get to preschool, then life will be so much better. Yes, some of you are laughing. Yes, it's better if you just have one to go grocery shopping, but, boy, you got to cram it all in because now you are on a schedule, and you better get there in time and get back on time to get that child from preschool. So whatever the mile marker we're looking for, whatever we're thinking, oh, if I can just get to there, it'll be better. Well, yes, there is relief, but the journey is still weary. And you see, sometimes we're looking ahead so much, we want to get to the destination. And really, we need to find rest stops along the journey. That is because we are designed for rest. Our Creator made us for rest. He created the world in 6 days, and the seventh day set the example by resting. Now, the Jews, they took that day as a day to do all kinds of regulate those rules. They called the Sabbath day rest. But Jesus set the record straight when he said, you know what? The Sabbath was made for you, because you need rest, and you need that rest. We were designed for rest. I recently went through a trauma and drama with my washing machine, and I got a new one, and I read that manual, because I don't want that washing machine to break down anytime too soon. I was without it for 6.5 weeks. Well, the designer of you has written down that you need rest. And so we need to begin to build a habit of rest. It is good for you to rest. And you know what? Living in this area especially, it's good for you to get in the habit of your kids learning to rest. Especially, man, when you get to kids have teenagers, when you have teenagers, there's going to be so much pressure if they have not learned to rest. They're going to be, some of the teenagers are some of the most uptight people I know, drinking, you know, energy drinks, staying up all hours of the night, and they're not rested. You are made to rest. Well, how can you tell when you need rest? Trust me, your family knows, but here are a few of them. I don't know about you, but I start snapping. I start snapping at people. Sometimes I feel really down or blue. Sometimes I just feel like, I'm overwhelmed. I'm swamped with Mount Washmore. And sometimes you get anxious and you can't sleep or you eat too much or too little. An Oreo bag of Oreos is a dangerous thing when I need rest in my house. And sometimes, especially in Northern Virginia, we resist the idea of resting. Maybe in the back of your mind, you're saying this, you know, she's an empty nester. Sure, tell us how we should have rest, but are you kidding me? I don't have time to rest. I can't rest. I've got all these little kids. And you know what? The truth is, you have less time in this time period of your life. I agree with you. You have lots of demands on your time. And I will tell you that this is just a season. If it feels like forever, it is just a season. You're going to get times where you're going to have more time freed up as your kids go to school later when they go off to college. But I'll tell you something else. This is a warning for the future. As you look down that road and you think, oh, if they just get to elementary school and I have, you know, all this time, that time can get right filled back up. You have got to build time in your life, whether it's now when you have smaller amounts of time or later when you have more amounts of time. You have to build in and make room for rest. And I'm going to say something that's going to kind of ouch. Trust me, when I'm talking to you, I'm going like this, but as my father used to say, point your finger at somebody else. How many are pointing back at you? Three. So I'm preaching to myself as well. This is a little bit of an ouch. You might say, I don't have time to rest. Do you have time for media? Do you have time for your computer, your Facebook? You might say, well, that's how I'm resting. And I think that's true to some extent and sometimes, but I think when we do an overdose of it, it actually makes us more into those blobby people on WALL-E. You know what I'm talking about? It can get you to the point where you're just kind of not being really refreshed and restored. So that's just a little bit of a ouch there, but something for us all to think about. So how do we spell relief? Well, we spell it R-E-S-T. R, the first thing, is to remember and reflect. Psalm 46:10 says, be still. That word means to stop striving. Stop wanting to plow down the road like Alyssa and her husband like to do. Stop and know that I am God. Take time to look in the rearview mirror. Get off the road and look in the rearview mirror. Not for very long, but take time to look back and to see all the things that there are to be thankful for. That is really refreshing for your soul, especially when you feel overwhelmed or felt down. You know, I used to have this great job and I got to dress up, or I'm overwhelmed because I do have a job and I don't have any time for kids and all these kinds of things. You feel just totally overwhelmed. Stop. Look in the rearview mirror and see what all the Lord has done for you. I would even encourage you, as you stop, maybe even, there are certain periods where I did this almost every day. Maybe you could just keep a journal even by your bed. And all I did was I did little arrow things and just jotted down the things that I was thankful for. As I thought back over the day, And sometimes it just takes a little time just to stop and reflect on what God did for you. You guys are great with blogging. Maybe you could write a blog journal on the goodness of God as you look back and think, from the little things to the great big things, God is at work in your life, and it's reassuring when you see that. Psalm 116:7 says, "Be at rest once more, O my soul." Why? For the Lord has been good to you. So take time to thank, and then take time to think. I don't think we get enough time to think, or take the time to think. It's kind of like pulling over to the rest stop and the ones that have the scenic overlook, you know, just take a minute to look over where you are and think with God. Sometimes we can get zooming down the highway that we don't realize we've gotten lost, and we've gotten lost. We wanted to go a certain direction, and we've somehow managed to, in the craziness of life, lost our way. Pull over and have some think time. Think, where am I heading? Who do I want to be? What do I want my children to be? What are my goals? What are God's goals for our family? And is this the road that will get us there? Just spend some time thinking about that. I was challenged once to just get out some 3x5 cards. So I did it. I didn't do them all at once. I did them as they came to me. And he said to start it with the word be. And I still keep these on my dresser. Occasionally I get up and out and just to think, am I on the right road? One says, be respectful, faithful wife to Serge. Be a student and discipler of my children. Be able to see problems as opportunities. See God's hand at work. Just lots of different things like that. Just to make sure you're on the right track. And that can bring kind of a relief that, that's what I really wanted. Bringing calmness to the chaos and reminding yourself in all of the dirty diapers and all of the laundry where I want to be going, and am I doing the things to get there. So R, for remember and reflect. E, encouragement to enrich. You know when you go on those airplanes, some of you aren't traveling on airplanes, but you do remember when you did go on airplanes, right? And they give that little spiel that people hardly don't listen to anymore, but the oxygen mask comes down, and they say, if you have small kids, do what? Give yourself oxygen first. That's so that you can help your child. Well, mothering takes a lot out of you, and you need to make sure that you're taking some time. It's resting and refreshing to enrich yourself. We are complex creatures. We are spiritual beings. We are emotional beings. We are mental beings, and we're physical beings, and all those are woven together, and they become depleted, and we need to spend time enriching those areas. I'm just going to give you a few ideas in each of these points. There's a great book called Taking Care of the Mommy in Me by Lisa Welcho. It's available on Amazon, or I'm sure the bookstore can order it for you. She has lots of very practical ideas in each of these areas. I'm just going to give you a few. Spiritually, nothing refreshes like spending time with the Lord Jesus Christ in your day, reading a little bit of the Bible and talking to him. Nothing refreshes more. Now, I know you don't have the time that I have, but here are a few things you can think about. I know that I was your age, or whatever. When I had children your age, I had stopped having my quiet time, because I was just overwhelmed with life. And I just didn't know what to do about it. And I felt terrible. I knew I needed to get above the storm that I felt like I was in. And I remember our pastor, Michael Easley, said that the Bible was your oxygen. And that related to me, because I felt like I was barely keeping my nose above the water, barely able to breathe. And I decided, you know, when you go to camp, you get the buddy. For the buddy system, you know, when you go swimming in the lake, I needed a buddy. And I called a good friend who lived in Florida, and I said, I'll be honest, I have not been reading my Bible. And so we kept each other accountable. We called once a month, and we were honest with each other, whether we did it or not. And we made a pact with each other. You know how you have those lulls in the day? Sometimes you do. The kids are either down for a nap, or they suddenly realize, oh, oh, it's quiet. And I'm a list person, so what I'm accustomed to doing is, oh, I'll go fold the laundry, or I'll go do this. But we made a pact with each other that whenever that moment came, we would spend 5-10 minutes reading our Bible and praying. Also, a great thing is put a verse somewhere where you see it, above the changing table, above the sink, just to catch a little bit of scripture during the day. Then emotionally, we need to enrich. And again, these are intertwined. Michelle was mentioning it in her storm. And there are going to be storms, and there are storms in your life. Psalm 62:8 tells us to pour our hearts out to God. He loves you so much, there is no better place to pour out your emotions to God. You can tell him exactly what's on your heart. He already knows what's on your heart. And he can calm the sea of emotion that's in your heart. Emotionally, we recharge in different ways. They're basically two with other people. Some of us recharge emotionally by being alone, and some of us recharge by being with others. I'm happen to be a lone person, which is kind of hard when you have small children, right? But I would encourage you, if you need time alone to recharge, talk to your husband, talk to a girlfriend, work it out, explain that to them, so that you can get just a little time alone to refresh yourself. It will do a world of good. If you're the kind of person that refreshes with others, know that there's two kinds of people out there. Those are the kinds of people that drain you and the kinds of people that encourage you. If you're going to spend time with others to emotionally encourage you, be thinking, is this someone who's going to drain me or encouraging me? If the purpose of it is to encourage you, seek out those people that will encourage you. If you might solve the problem, not the problem, but the responsibility of having children by having play dates with a friend. I'm sure you do this already, where you're not just swapping out so you can go someplace, but where you actually come together and talk. Bible study, put a little plug in for it, is a great place. I mean, here on Wednesday mornings, we have childcare. Your children are receiving great spiritual food in childcare, and you are in Bible study with many wonderful women, both of your age and all kinds of ages, and it's a great time. So we enrich spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. Our minds need mental refreshing too, especially after we've sat on the side of the tub while we're waiting for that magic moment when they go potty potty, and we've read. If you give a mouse a cookie for the 50th time, our minds need refreshing. So I'd encourage you, find a book that you like to read. Maybe in your other life you liked history. Find a history book out of the library to read. Maybe you won't get to read it very often, but maybe while you're nursing or put it by your bedside bed, and maybe little by little, you know, you'll read the book, and it will be refreshing. Learn a new skill. Learn a new craft. Maybe a friend can teach you a craft. Learn a new type of cooking, or cook, just even cooking a new kind of recipe is sometimes, you know, exciting after a macaroni and cheese all the time. So we refresh ourselves spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically. Naps are great. And if you're a list person, you can even write the word nap on your list and cross it off. I'm a list person. I do that. I did it yesterday. So it's okay to take naps. Exercise is a great thing to do. It can not only refresh you physically, it can refresh you emotionally, even spiritually and mentally, get you more alert. You can do it. We can kill more than one bird with one stone by getting a friend to go walking with. You know, you push your kids in the car, or running if you're really ambitious. And you can have together time and exercise time, and you're really doing a lot of things at once. So it's important to enrich yourself so you're not depleted, so you have more to give spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and physically. But I would encourage you this. When I go on vacation, I don't want, no matter how nice the rest stop is, I don't want a vacation there. I want to stay there. So don't stay at the rest stops. Enjoy your times of refreshment, but don't stay at the rest stops. You're a mom, get on the road of the motherhood. You know, your mom, your child doesn't want to say, well, my mom, you know, she grew up, I grew up, and she spent her time reading history books and refreshing her mind. Well, I did, whatever. So R is remember and reflect. E, encouragement to enrich. And S is for surrender self. What a job we moms have. I often feel like I have something called juice box syndrome. At least that's what I call it. See this? This is what juice box syndrome looks like. Everybody sticks their straw into you, your children, your husband, your neighbor, your friend, and in-laws and outlaws and your mother, and they, right? And you feel like this. Empty. And you feel the pressure of everyone's depending on me. I got to keep this all afloat, keep all the balls bouncing. And it's a lot of pressure, and it can wear you out. The first thing that we need to remember to bring us real relief is to surrender ourselves, to admit, I cannot do it all. That I learned much later than your age, your stage, and I wish I'd learned it sooner. I felt like God almost tapped me on the shoulder and said, you're not supposed to do it all. You cannot do it all. Only I can do it all. I'm the only all-powerful one. I'm God. You're not. There are no such things as super moms. There's only a super God. And so that is a relief to realize that it's not all on my shoulders. You know, when you're driving a long trip, it's time to change drivers. And the Lord wants to be in the driver's seat. He wants to take control of the car. And that is a relief, really, because he is far greater than we are. He is more powerful, and we can trust him with the burdens that we have. We don't have enough strength for the day. He gives it to us when we ask. It's a little bit challenging, though, to think about giving over the controls, giving over the map, giving over the GPS to God, because we like to say where we're going to go, and we like to be in control. And that's where the S bleeds into the T. You can only surrender yourself when you trust in the true God. Jeremiah 17. I'll find it here quickly. Has some verses that I like that talk about this. Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. What will he be like? He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries. Why? In the year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Why? Because he's trusting in God. And God is his confidence." Really, we worry about giving over the controls. We worry about a lot of things as moms. I know I do and still do, and I'm sure you do too. And realize that worry is really not pleasing to God, and it's not any good for us. It only causes us to be uptight and to spend emotional energy on things that we have no control over. And worry, the antidote for worry is to remember who God is. For example, when you drop that baby off to the nursery, or off to the babysitter, or when you drop that child off to pre-K for the first time, don't we want to, all the time we're thinking, what is happening? Are they doing this? Or, you know, I hope they remember that he likes this. You know, and the antidote to that is to remember that God is all-knowing. And he is everywhere. He is with your child at pre-K. He is with your child at nursery. And when we realize that, then we can say, and I don't have to rely on myself. I can trust the true God. The real question is, maybe some of you are sitting there and you're thinking, you know, I don't know how to pour out my heart to God. I don't know what it means to have peace that God's in the car with me. I don't know him personally like she's saying you can know him. Well, you know, the Lord does want to know you. He wants you really to know him, because you know what? He already does know you. He knows everything about you. He made you, and he loves you more than you can ever imagine. And that's the most awesome thing to me in all the world. And if you are sitting there and say, you know, I'm not sure I get that, there are some wonderful women sitting at your table, your mentor moms, and I know that they would be thrilled to talk to you tonight or some other time, if you call them, to talk to you about, how do I know God? I don't know how to trust him, because I don't know him. I can't trust him with my children. I don't know him. The greatest joy in all the world is knowing Jesus Christ. And so, if that's something that you're wondering about, please ask myself or ask one of the mentor moms. We would be happy, be thrilled to tell you how you can know Jesus Christ and trust him and find true rest, because that's where you're going to find true rest, in Jesus Christ. So how do we spell rest? R, remember and reflect. E, encouragement to enrich. S, surrender self. T, trust in the true God. A few traveling tips, and then we're done. You have to plan for the rest stops. You need to be intentional, or they will slip away from you. Get your calendar book, I'm dating myself. Get out your smartphones or your iPads. And I actually started doing this, because otherwise I would never take the time for some of these things. Maybe you're saying tonight, you know, she's right. I need some enrichment in my spiritual area. I need some enrichment in those emotional areas, and different things like that. And you've gotten some ideas like, yeah, I need to be doing that. Well, get out your iPad and click on that icon and see and make a date. And if you need to coordinate it with somebody else so somebody's taking care of your children, do that. Make it just like a doctor's appointment, because you need it. And write it in there and be intentional about it. And so that you have some place to put these dates, be careful about overcommitting to things. Overcommitting to different responsibilities, especially as you move into the pre-K years. And later on, when you move into the elementary years, that's how all your time's going to get absorbed up, is saying, yes, I'll do that. Yes, I'll do that. Make sure you're leaving margins in your life so that you have time to rest. Then watch for the opportunities that come up. If you're not getting opportunities, pray and watch God open up those opportunities, but be alert, watch him for them. Don't be like me sometimes, driving down the road and you miss the sign, you know, you miss the exit because you weren't paying attention. Now there are times, like one time we drove many times when the kids were little, to Louisville through West Virginia and on over to Louisville. 9 hours with my two girls alone. And there was this one time, there's some pretty isolated places, and heard the voice from the back seat, "I have to go." Oh, no. And so fortunately, you know, 5 miles to the rest area, just hold it, I gotta go, you know, that panic thing you get, and you think, oh, am I going to be cleaned up? So finally get there, we zoom in, it was on a kind of a hilly place, zoom in, unbuckle, let's go, run up to the little pavilion place where the bathroom is, big sign in the bathroom, closed for repair. And I thought, what am I going to do? And I just glanced up the hill, and what do you know it, right over the hill, I saw it. That was 2 beautiful golden arches. So we ran, got back in the car, up, and just up the road, there's an exit, got off, ran to McDonald's. Relief. Well, if you're feeling like that, there may be a time when you were intentional. You got that thing in the iPad planner, and you were so looking forward to that, and you were saying, oh, well, I can hang in there because I'm going to have lunch with my friend. Both our kids are being watched, and I'm so looking forward to that. It's going to be great. And then you get 8 inches of snow. And then you reschedule it, and you get 6 inches of snow. And then you reschedule it, and your child gets the stomach flu. It happens like that sometimes, doesn't it? Well, here's my advice to you. Look up. Call out to God. Look to him for the answer. He will show you a way to refresh, even if your plans weren't coming to fruition. And then there's times when we don't want to stop. And something unexpected, like Michelle was talking about, comes into our life. I know I was going from Louisville back to here once, and I wanted to get, we would always stop halfway. I'm not a big driver, I'm not like Alyssa. I can't plow through long periods of time, so we would just make it to Beckley, which is West Virginia, which is way at the top of the mountain. You know, you kind of hit the down point of the Appalachian Mountains there, so right at the top. I wanted to get there before it got dark, and no sooner got on the road, and it started to storm. And it stormed, and it got worse and worse, and my daughter was like this, because flashes of lightning, and you know, hardly see where you're going. It was really scary. So we found an exit once, we got off, but I was really anxious to get back on the road, because I wanted to get to Beckley, West Virginia, before it got dark. And so we waited there, and it started to let up, so we got back on the road, and you know, lightning, really, really scary. And finally, when I found a place to get off, Golden Arches again. We went in, and we, you know, had a sundae or something, and we waited for a while. And it wasn't what I wanted to do, because I wanted to get to Beckley, West Virginia before it got dark. And it wasn't in my plan, and I was anxious the whole time I was there. But sometimes there are unexpected storms that come into our life that force us into a rest stop we weren't planning for. Like a sickness, like a serious sickness, or maybe an issue with a parent, or maybe an issue with a lost job. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe all these different things. Maybe you lost your babysitter. Some kind of a storm that comes into our lives, and we weren't expecting it, and God forces us off the road. And we don't want to be taking a rest stop. Things that Michelle shared with us were exactly what I want to share with you. Remember who's in your boat. If you know Jesus Christ, he's in your car, he's in your boat, he's in your life. He is in control of the storms in your life. When the disciples, it reminds me of the story we're thinking about when we were driving, about how the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus. He was asleep in the boat. And a big storm came up, and they didn't know what to do. And they, I think, kind of annoyed them. And they went, "Wake up! Don't you care we're drowning?" I don't think they expected him to do much but get up and worry with them. But he surprised them all by what he did in that storm. He just stood up and said, "Be still." And because he is the creator, the winds and the waves, they obeyed him. And they, it says they were amazed. because they learned something new about who Jesus was. And when the Lord forces you off the road for a forced rest stop, look to him. He will teach you something new about himself. And you will look back on that rest stop as a golden time in your life if you do that. So, are you tired? Are you thirsty? Well, then take a rest. Find your rest in Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, please ask. Remember, R for remember and reflect, E for encouragement to enrich, S for surrender self, T for trust in the true God. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that our souls can find rest in you. Thank you that we can trust you because you are the God who loves us, who loves our children. You protect us. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, I thank you for each of these ladies that has come tonight. All of us, including myself, we need rest, Lord. Teach us to take rest stops. Help us to do it, Lord, because we are made for rest. Show us all the things to be thankful for. Help us to think with you about where we're going. Help us to be creative about enriching ourselves spiritually and emotionally and mentally and physically. And Lord, help us to surrender ourselves to you, to know that you are God and we are not, and that we can trust you because you are trustworthy. I pray that you would bless each woman here with a taste of your rest tonight. In your name, amen.